You're listening to Black People Go to Therapy Too, a podcast about people of color and their experiences in therapy. Don't forget to subscribe and spread the word that we're now available on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, and Spotify. Now let's begin our session. Everybody,
hi.
And welcome to the premiere episode of Black People Go to Therapy Too.
Ooh.
I appreciate everyone for sharing and spreading the word. This is a project that I'm really excited about, and it sounds like everyone else is too.
Yeah.
So let's get into the show. We have our very first guest. Her name is Cha, but I'll let her go ahead and introduce herself.
Oh, I was hoping for some, you know, intro music, like feeling like a boxer. So I'm Cha. I am from Chicago, everybody. I'm 31. Ooh. My pronouns are she, her. I am a woman. My ethnicity is Black and Puerto Rican. Lived in Chicago area my whole life. And yeah, it's exciting. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, thank you for being my guinea pig.
Yeah, no kidding. Do not judge.
Yeah, and me and Cha know one another too, so that helps a little bit.
Do we? I feel like you're going to know me a little bit, like,
maybe.
Almost too well now.
I'm hoping to learn some things about your whole mental health journey anyway, because that's the purpose of the show.
Okay.
So let's get into it. So do you mind telling the people at home, why did you first seek out therapy? Where did it start?
Yeah, my first go around for therapy actually occurred, oh God, I'm 31. Let's do some subtraction. I was 25 or 26. No, 25. Mm-hmm. And I originally wanted to go because my girlfriend at the time had just proposed to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, what? Like, this is so exciting, obviously, but I never saw myself getting married. I don't know if I'm okay with, like, this shit. I've also never seen a successful marriage. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that's like. And okay. I was luckily self-aware to the point that I knew that I did not have the tools to be in a successful marriage or communicate properly or really be happy. And so in a marriage, granted. So I think that's what really helped me to get to that point, to want to look into it. Mm-hmm. And it was so that I could be my best self for this new unit that we were forming.
Mm-hmm. And that's very important too, you know, really thinking about, okay, I know I'm good.
Right.
But now I'm going to be joined with this other person.
Right. I'm good by myself, but now you saying this forever? Because, whoo, I don't know how long it can bite my tongue.
Yeah. And very important things. And before that too, had you ever considered therapy? Had you ever, like, had anyone ever suggested it?
Absolutely. No one suggested it.
Not saying that.
Like, girl. Even though I think I would have been really receptive if they were like, hey, I'm noticing that when you get anxious, you tend to get very short with people, or it comes off as aggression or all of these other things. But I actually wanted to go to therapy in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So just for a little bit of background, my dad is Black and my mom is Puerto Rican. And so I went to my mom, and I'll never forget it. I was maybe sophomore year in high school. And I was like, Mom, I think I need to go to therapy. And she was like, for what? You're not crazy. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I need to go to therapy because, and I don't know what my reason was. I think I told her, like, I'm angry, like, all the time. And this is coming from a teenager. Yeah. So it's like, again, if a teenager is telling you they need to go,
you showed a lot of awareness for a teenager.
Right. And so I was like, I'm just not happy. Like, I feel like I need to talk to somebody. And the home environment in which I lived in was very, I don't want to say volatile, because that to me gives off like an air of violence. And it wasn't necessarily like that, but it was just very chaotic and explosive at times. And so I think I was just really overwhelmed by my environment and needing to release somewhere, somehow, to be like, is this normal? This is what I'm feeling. Yeah. I'm carrying a lot of this with me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was my mom's reaction. Like, you're not crazy. You can't go. And I was like, no, it's not. I'm not saying that. I'm just mm-hmm. saying that I think I would thrive if I went, or like mm-hmm. I would feel better. And then she said, well, no, because that would be on your permanent record. And I don't know if that's true. Like, I don't know if that was ever a thing.
Yeah.
Because my dad also thought that. And so I don't know if that used to be the case, where if you did go to therapy, that it followed you your whole life. But talk about a fucking stigma.
Yeah.
Geez.
And like, that goes right into the next question. It was like, what are some of the stigmas and misconceptions that you've heard about therapy?
Yeah.
And there it goes.
There it is.
That like, is going to be on your record for forever. That
right.
it's going to follow you.
Right.
That you're and also there's crazy. The idea that, yeah, because crazy people go to therapy,
mm-hmm.
since this is on your record, mm-hmm. they're going to see it and be like, oh, this is a crazy person.
Right.
Not this is someone who just went to therapy to talk about, you know, what was going on in their life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think that and I don't want to speak for every person who's a person of color in their family, but
mm-hmm.
I almost got a sense that for my parents it was like a shameful thing, like
mm-hmm.
they must have done something wrong, or they mm-hmm. couldn't fix it, or it would be like, you know, my mom is religious, my dad not so
yeah.
much, and it'd be like, well, why don't you just pray? And I was always like, God doesn't have time for me and my bullshit. Like,
yeah,
there are people around the world who are, and I don't want to say actually suffering, because mm-hmm. everybody suffers in their own way, but truly,
mm-hmm.
I am in a position
in comparison,
of privilege.
Yeah.
Right. So when you put that on a scale, I think I'm going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So let me talk to a professional
yeah.
and not this being.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it came from a place of wanting to protect,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily just myself, but protect
mm-hmm.
her and her image and what that meant
mm-hmm.
to send your kid to talk to a therapist.
Yeah.
So, and what that could potentially expose
mm-hmm.
from their rearing in my upbringing.
Yeah.
So I think it was a lot of that at play. And I don't know how it works as a minor, like if the therapist is able to share what the kid has said. I don't know
mm-hmm.
how any of that works.
It really depends on the state.
Okay.
There are some instances where a kid can actually, I believe at age 13 or 14, sign themselves up to go to therapy.
By themselves?
By themselves.
Is this new?
And you don't have to notify the parents until after, I think, the third session for Illinois.
Oh my God, babies?
Yeah.
Yes!
So, and I mean, that's a beautiful thing.
That's
I think
amazing.
As they get older, I think even like a 17-year-old can do it without letting their parents know. So they're not fully, you know, 18 or an
right.
adult, considered an adult yet, but
right.
can still seek out therapy and their parents won't know. And even when it comes to the parents knowing, I think there is still, and I don't work with children, so you can tell I'm like, ooh.
You're like,
I'm not
I don't
sure.
know. The bylines
or young teens.
Said
or young teens,
yeah.
For my own reasons, but because I don't want to deal with parents.
Right.
And that's something that does come along with the work sometimes is that, yeah, parents might get involved and parents might overstep, you know,
mm-hmm.
this in terms of this is a safe space for your kid. So as a parent, you would think that, okay, cool, I'm going to let them have their safe space
right.
and they're going to be, our relationship is going to grow. It's
mm-hmm.
going to be better. But a lot of parents, you know, overstep. And
until
like,
they find out there's
tell
a
me.
Cause
yeah.
of a lot of it. Yeah.
And then they can't handle it.
Right.
But I think that is something that also fuels a lot of parents who are like, I don't want you to go to therapy, because it's like, if you're in therapy, what does that mean
right.
About the
exactly.
way that I raised you?
Exactly right.
Where did I go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Where did I fail? And it's like, no, you didn't fail me.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for more tools. You
right.
gave me great tools.
Right.
You gave me great foundational tools.
Absolutely.
And that's why I am where I am now.
But I also think, too, like, so my wife and I are still together.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're entering this phase of talking about having children. And
mm-hmm.
so that's, I'm now back in therapy, and it's literally in preparation of that, too. Like,
mm-hmm.
I originally went back to therapy because I was just so overwhelmed at my job. I didn't really know what to do with
mm-hmm.
how it was going or how to communicate it. And there
yes.
was just a lot of feelings that were attached to it that kind of surprised me, because
mm-hmm.
I thought that I did a fairly good job with advocating for myself in
yeah.
previous roles. And there was something about this job that kind of took me way back, and I felt
mm-hmm.
repressed in a way, and like I could not be like, this is fucking stupid, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Where was I going with that?
You were talking about what parents think about
yes.
the way they raise you? Yeah.
Right. So, and then, so with that in mind, of potentially being a future parent, the most, like, surprising thing that I learned throughout the process is really just how much your childhood impacts you as an adult. Mm-hmm. And you don't think about it because it's just kind of like, ah, I survived and now I'm on my own. Yeah. And like, fuck
I'm
off.
Grown now. Exactly. I'm out of my parents'
house. I have my own paycheck. I file my own taxes. Uh-huh. Like, whatever. And it's such an important part of who you become as an adult. So it's kind of sad that that's often the place where some parents can come from when it comes to allowing their children to go to therapy.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you did what you could do. Nobody's judging you.
The best that you could do.
But you fucked up because parents literally are supposed to fucked up because no one's figured this out. Like, no one has figured out how to be a perfect parent.
Yeah.
So you're going to be trash in some way or
another. I love this outlook.
I know. So maybe this is what you're taking into.
No, you're talking about you being a parent. Are you accepting that, like, okay, I might be a garbage parent?
Absolutely. And I'm really excited about the possibility of being a trash parent. Now, I'm not going to let this kid starve or be beaten.
Because that's the worst of it.
But I will be emotionally supportive and all that other stuff. But I do understand and recognize that I'm bound to fail in some way.
Yeah.
Because I've never met this human before. And they're brand new. They don't even know how they feel. Yeah. So it's like, oh, I was good with that. You're not good.
I mean, you're both new to it.
Exactly. They don't know what to expect. They don't know. They brand new in this world. It's all fucked up. Trump may still be president. Like, there's a lot. There's a lot that they have to go through.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I think that has helped me in the second round. Mm-hmm. Being able to be like, you're not going to get it right. Mm-hmm. And for somebody who I thrive off of finding the solution to all things, and I'm still working through that.
Would you call it perfectionism?
No, I would find it as problem-solving 101. And no, but totally. I think that's where I'm at now, is being comfortable with being like, you're not going to know ever. You're literally never going to know everything. So be good with it.
Yeah. And again, if you are failing at being a parent, or even if you're doing the best that you can as your child is being raised by you guys, at least you know there's therapy.
You know? Shit, we can go together.
At least you know there's family therapy, there's individual therapy, so many more resources that you've learned and have access to now that you can really tap into with rearing a new child.
Yeah. Now that I said couple therapy, I've also done couples therapy. I've really, tapped on the market here.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah. I was going to ask, how did you find your therapist?
The current one or all of any of them?
Any of them. You can walk me through kind of your search for them and, like, let me know what that search was like for you. Because I understand that it was probably frustrating.
Oh, boy. I know. I felt so bad for you. I was, like, texting you in, like, a fucking manic episode. The first therapist I found, I absolutely loved her. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad because I forgot her name now. But it was actually not so bad to find her because at the time I had PPO insurance. Mm. So turns out that depending on your insurance, that makes all the difference in your options. Mm-hmm. And so I had, the world was my oyster in terms of therapy. And it was very expensive, I will say. So I paid $100 for the first 6 weeks. And that was of the year.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the year was free because I had met my deductible. But that's still a lot of money. And it going is. Every week. So my credit card was like, bitch, do you need it this bad? And I was like,
still?
Yes. Right.
Still you're going?
Wrap these points and shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. Like, so that was awesome. And each experience was different. So within that, with that therapist, our relationship was different. She was a white woman. Mm. And at first I was like, oh, okay, I'm not really sure like how well I would be able to open up to you because you don't really understand. And she was a cis white woman. She was straight. Like, there was just so many things. And I was like, will you understand my life or lifestyle or experiences? But she was great. And I think my biggest takeaway from those sessions was kind of what we were talking about before, the impact of being a kid and what you carry with you throughout adulthood. Like, there are times where she made a connection and I was just like, what? Like, oh my god. And she was like, yeah, don't you see? And like, being able to name it, like, this is baby child telling adult child it's okay.
Yeah,
like, let go. Like, you got this. She's good, you're good. And so just hearing your narrative in that way, I think changes mm-hmm. the way that you can think about yourself.
Yeah.
Because it allows you to, well, for me, again, I'll speak for myself, it allowed me to forgive and mm-hmm. be like, oh yeah, like I'm human. Mm-hmm. Like this is all one experience. It's not like bookends of like, okay, this was my teenage years and that's it. Mm-hmm. And then these are my adult years and that won't impact anything else. Yeah. So it kind of like just
all
really,
those years are pouring into.
Yeah. Yeah.
31 year old.
Connected the dots for me. Yeah. And on a lot of things. So I was really grateful for that. Then the second experience, I went to couples counseling with my mm-hmm. now wife. And that was just because I think when you're together for a while, you just need to work on communication.
Yeah.
And that was huge. Like, that was a huge sore spot for us. Like, mm-hmm. I think we got too comfortable to the point where it was like, meh.
Yeah.
Like, you should know what I'm thinking.
It's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix
exactly.
it. But it's like, but wait.
But is it broke?
And maybe it is broke.
Right. Like, is this normal? So
it's
we
a little rickety
went,
over here.
Right. Is that, you hear that squeak? Like, damn, yeah, bitch. We were smooth. But we went for, I want to say like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, it was really to work on our connectedness, both physically, mm-hmm. emotionally, like all mm-hmm. of that stuff. And so that really helped because we realized at that point, we weren't even doing date nights.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what the fuck? Like, we haven't gone on a date in a really long time. But
mm-hmm.
that felt normal to us because we were like, oh, but we're at home with a dog. Like,
yeah.
This is good. We're both good. But not understanding that literally the element to leave a home, to
mm-hmm.
get dressed, to feel good, to like have a couple of drinks and just shoot the shit.
Yeah.
That's so important.
And having an outside opinion where you guys were in it. So
right.
you didn't recognize
that. We didn't
that
see it at all until she was like, y'all okay? Like,
yeah.
that's not normal. Well, she didn't say that. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she therapized it differently. So
and then you have a third therapist now. Is, mm-hmm. What was the third therapist that you
yeah.
had?
So, yeah. So my wife and I then from there realized that we were good,
mm-hmm.
but we just had a lot of shit on our own
mm-hmm.
that we needed to work on. So she goes to therapy separately and I go to therapy separately as
mm-hmm.
well. And so that's where I'm at now. It's great. It, I will say the experience is different from the first time I went to individual
mm-hmm.
therapy. But I'm grateful because my therapist now is a Black woman.
Mm-hmm.
She is just really, she's able to connect things for me
mm-hmm.
in a similar way, not the same way as my first therapist,
mm-hmm.
but I think my first therapist really helped me with building blocks. So being
yeah.
able to identify triggers with anxiety, being
mm-hmm.
able to, my first lesson of boundary building was in those sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think because I'm always the perfectionist in me comes out and it's like, fix yourself.
Yeah.
Fix it. Like, something's wrong, do better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with having that in the back of my mind that this new therapist, her and I gel well because
mm-hmm.
I'm always thinking about kind of like the things that she picks up on
mm-hmm.
and being like, hey, you said that. Like, can we go deeper in that?
Yeah.
Like, what did that mean? Or this
mm-hmm.
is what I'm noticing on my end. So it's great. I've been going to her, 7 months?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? That seems right.
I know you're asking me. I'm like, but I know the route to finding
But the
her
route to find, okay.
Was.
So I forgot to tell y'all that my cheap ass went to HMO. And after the first woman was PPO, the second, the couples counseling we paid out of pocket.
Was that expensive?
It was. It was.
You don't have to say that amount.
I can't remember. I think it was
yeah.
like $150.
Mm-hmm.
But we also didn't go every week. And
yeah.
my wife and I split it. So
mm-hmm.
we went every other week. And then now, with under HMO, it took me, I want to say like 6 weeks. Because
wow.
I called the insurance. At first, when you do the whole online search,
mm-hmm.
they're like, oh, PPO only, PPO only, or out of pocket. So I was like, well, fuck, I'm desperate. And at
mm-hmm.
this point, my anxiety was so hot. Like, it was so much that I was feeling. And I was like, I need to talk to somebody now. Like,
yeah.
this is, like, not a joke anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can sustain whatever I am feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to get scary. Like,
yeah.
because now I'm feeling really emotional,
mm-hmm.
and I don't really know where to place these things.
Yeah. I know a lot of that journey, too, that you were sharing with me when you're, like, in the thick of things
mm-hmm.
where you'd find a place that you wanted to go to, you'd want to schedule with the counselor or the
oh,
therapist,
honey.
And the therapist wouldn't have availability.
Right.
And then they would
that
tell you.
Three times.
Yeah, they tell you another one. Okay, yeah, how
yes.
about this one? You're
yes.
like, not my first option,
three
but my
places.
Second one, but,
yes.
like, let me try. And
yeah.
people don't realize that that is also discouraging for
mm-hmm.
the person who finally decides, like, hey, I decided that I want to do therapy. I decided that I want to jump into this journey.
Right.
And now I have to go through an intake team. Mm-hmm. And this process can sometimes be as quick as 20, 30 minutes.
If they're on it, they're on it.
Or it could be, for you, was it 10 days?
Oh, my God. And I was just so over it at that point. And so I actually found that therapy group through Psychology Today, which if you are looking for a therapist, I recommend, because you can sort it through insurance. And had I known that, I would have done that from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But with HMO, your options are limited.
Yeah.
So I had found a place. I was really excited. I reached out to them. Crickets. And I was like, wait a minute now. What is going on? Reached out to them again. Like, hey, this is kind of urgent. Like, I'm feeling like, not like I'm going to do self-harm or anything, but I don't feel right.
Yeah.
Like, something feels really off kilter.
And then, I need to know that I have something set up.
Yes. Just to feel better about it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
I gave them my top three therapists I would like to work with. They came back with not a one that I had asked for. Then came back with a separate list.
For the first one?
Yes.
And did they come back with non-people of color?
Yes. Okay. And then they messed up my insurance and then reran the list. And then it was, they like carried over two names. So I was like, fine, then I'll take so-and-so. And they were like, oh, well, no, they're not available. And I was like, what is the problem?
Yeah.
What are you giving me right now? Like, how are you pulling this fucking list? So that became, I will say, your intake process is so important. Because like you were saying, like, when you are ready to get to that step, especially if you've never gone before, like, that could be incredibly discouraging to the point where it's like, fuck it. I will handle this shit on my own, whatever that means. But yeah, that was the worst intake process. I read them for filth.
Yeah.
That email afterward.
Ooh, I hope you know this isn't all therapy groups.
I was so like,
this
pissed.
Isn't all practices.
I was like, is this HMO? This is what they're giving me for my ass?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I luckily found a really good fit.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you got to think about it too. That's with insurance both times. So thinking of people who have to pay out of pocket. Mm-hmm.
And I was desperate. I was contacting PPO therapist office who only took PPO. And I was like, I'll pay out of pocket. What is your rate?
That's how
because
desperate
I
you are.
Am so, I need to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, it was like $200. And I was like, oh, wait, maybe not that bad. But like, can you, sliding scale is also a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then I found out that I did not qualify. So it's just a lot of like.
Barriers.
Yes. and for things that I find to be very frustrating, like. Mm-hmm. Sure, my salary may look a certain way on paper.
Mm-hmm.
My expenses, though, is what you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
So it also added to a layer of frustration because it's like, no, I'm telling you what I can and cannot afford. Cannot afford $200 a session.
Yeah, and that's what's frustrating, too. I know as a therapist, like me and the site that I'm currently at as a clinical intern is $25 a session.
That's okay.
But what I don't like is that, you know, other people will say like, oh, it's only $25. Mm-hmm. But I'm like,
I just
hey,
said that.
It's $100 a month.
Right.
And for people who don't have insurance or don't have a salary or don't, or have more bills than they can, you know, pay right now. It's hard for them to prioritize even $25 a week or $25 a month.
Right.
And so I think that's a huge barrier that not enough people talk about when it comes to therapy. It's that you might say I'll pay out of pocket, but out of pocket is usually going to be $150 plus. And then sliding scale fees usually slide only about as low as like $75.
Mm-hmm.
So you're asking someone to pay $75 a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then don't want to be responsive to emails or you don't want to let them know what therapists they can work with.
Right.
And so I think it is discouraging for a lot of people. And I've talked to a lot of people who said like, yeah, the process just was terrible for me.
Yeah.
So I just haven't gone.
Mm-hmm.
And building up the strength to like go through that again,
right.
Understanding that you're probably not going to hear back as soon as you would like is discouraging.
Yeah. It really is. I cry. I never cried.
Mm-hmm.
That's we're also working on that.
Yeah,
y'all.
I was like, you can talk about
you know,
that with your therapist.
We're working on it. I'm going to be more vulnerable. But I cried because I was like, this is just a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
But I'm glad you got through it.
Me
and
too.
Now it seems that you're very happy with your therapist.
I am. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, so let's talk about your experience in therapy. You did a lot there. If you had to name a few good outcomes of therapy, what would those be?
Ooh. So good outcomes would definitely be the boundary setting. I didn't mm-hmm. realize how important that was for a lot of my relationships. Mm-hmm. That also shined a lot of light on how I act in certain relationships and what I'm willing to give up but not, and what I'm willing to make an excuse for to not receive.
Mm-hmm.
So that was super, super important. I can't state enough the connection of, like, really digging into your childhood. Like, mm-hmm. my mind is still blown from that. Like, yeah. that is just... And you really don't think about it. Like, the littlest things, and you are mm-hmm. carrying this around with you. Like, baby BJ mm-hmm. is still in you, BJ.
I know, he's a brat. Tired of him.
You're like, go to take a nap. So those would definitely be the outcomes that yeah. are the most important. Also, doing homework. I find that that's something that... people may not think about, mm-hmm. like, oh, you're just going to a therapy to vent. And it's like, no, mm-hmm. I'm actually doing work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we go through these stories, it's a lot to hear about it emotionally.
Yeah.
But then you have to process it, and you have to keep that work going. Mm-hmm. You have to then, once you leave that session,
mm-hmm.
be able to apply whatever it is you talked about, mm-hmm. be willing to stand up for yourself and advocate for yourself in the way that you just discussed.
Yeah.
And that's hard. Like, mm-hmm. sometimes it's really hard to show up for yourself.
Yeah.
And I think the simple act of going every week and being able to, like, recalibrate and re-energize mm-hmm. so that you can, for the remainder of the week, be able to show up for yourself mm-hmm. and put those tools in practice is super important.
Yeah.
So I think those are the takeaways.
Yeah, and I like the idea of homework. And me, personally, I always get afraid of, or I'm always afraid of assigning homework to clients mm. in the sense where I don't want you to feel like, don't come back next week if you haven't done this.
Right, right.
But I've had clients who have really, like, opened my mind up to, like, different types of homework. So I usually think, oh, you want a worksheet and something to take home with? And I'm like, ugh, that doesn't feel like my style.
Mm-hmm.
But more so, my clients have asked for things that are a little... more tangible, mm-hmm. but still a little, I guess, not so concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's one client where I give, like, diary prompts. Like, hey, how about you journal about this week? Or let me challenge you to focus on this. And so, also, I know that, personally, when I was looking for a therapist, too, I was like, I don't want a therapist that talks about homework.
Mm-hmm.
But I've come to learn that, like, the homework is what you said, taking what you've done in therapy and applying that to your day-to-day and testing it and mm-hmm. trialing it
mm-hmm.
and seeing if it works, because you always have next week.
You gotta readjust the boundaries yeah. sometimes. Like, you know what? I gave them a little too much.
Yeah.
Let's restrict.
But yeah. that's important, too, to also understand, like, the homework is not always going to be given by your therapist,
mm-hmm.
but you also have to, you have some accountability there where yeah. you think about what you talked about in session. You think about how you can apply that to your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then what would you say, of course, in talking about the good, we also talk about the bad. What are some of the bad outcomes of therapy?
Bad outcomes of therapy.
And maybe it's hard to say bad. What are some things that you didn't expect that were, like, difficult? So a difficult outcome from going to therapy.
I feel like mine's so personal. Like, one of my things that I still struggle with is allowing myself to be vulnerable in front of mm-hmm. a stranger. Like, my first therapist told me something, and then she was like, you can cry. And I was like, no, I will later. Like, not right now.
Yeah.
But allowing yourself to be vulnerable, because mm-hmm. that's the only way it works.
Yeah.
It doesn't work if you're trying to put up this facade, because yeah. then you're not getting to the fucking issue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a challenge. I think being able to also enforce said boundaries with your therapist mm-hmm. when it's needed. So one of the things that I'm currently working on, too, is being able to, like, express what it is I need. Luckily, my yeah. therapist asks, and,
yeah.
and she's like, what are your goals?
You're
what are
we going to do have this one year? That asks. Yeah.
Exactly. So making sure that your goal setting with your therapist is aligned. Mm-hmm. That's super important, because I could see that being a challenge. And yeah. luckily, that happened with the couples counselor that we went to go see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was kind of way the fuck left. And I was like, wait, we over here. Like, how you get over there already? Because she kind of rushed through things. And mm-hmm. I was like, take your time. Like, we ain't going nowhere,
we're
girl.
Not going
we ain't getting divorced. Like, we good.
we're not in crisis mode.
Right. Yeah. We sailing through. So I think mm-hmm. being able to identify those things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the therapist's do's and don'ts. So do you have a therapist do? Something that therapists should always do, should always implement in their relationships with their clients. And then therapist don'ts, things that therapists should not do with their clients. Things that maybe you've experienced or heard from your friends' experiences with therapists.
I would say a therapist do is, well, for me, I went to therapy largely because of anxiety, largely because of wanting to be a better partner because my parents' relationship was terrible. So I think a therapist's do is to allow their client to get to those spaces where they feel comfortable relaying said information without assuming. So that was another issue with a couples counselor. She would assume, and I'm like, wait, what? Like, don't know, because you are so wrong. Like, she didn't get the chance, or she didn't take the chance to get to know us individually, which I could imagine being a common issue for couples counseling, because you're going there for a very specific goal. It's, you're going together, so it's kind of like there isn't that relationship build that happens in individual therapy. So I think those are my do and don't. Like, allow them to open up to you in their time. And the therapist don't. Do not make assumptions. And say it out loud. Because it's like, are you listening to me? What?
And, like, that's a big thing in rapport building. You know, you the client, you are the expert on you. And so you, as a couple, also, you guys are the experts on your relationship. And so it doesn't do anything but kind of, you know, deter the flow of therapy if you have a therapist who is just being presumptuous and making those known and saying them out loud and really getting it wrong. I guess some of the benefits of that are like, well, not benefits as much as you would hope that you have a client who isn't or who is willing to correct you. And I think a lot of times clients don't feel like they can. They feel like, oh, the therapist is the powerful person in the room and what they say goes. And so that's something I always want to challenge clients to. It's like, hey, I'm going to get it wrong, like real wrong. But hopefully by then we've built up enough of a relationship so that you know it's not coming from a judgmental place, but that I just was off.
Like POC, right? Because we're so used to muting ourselves or so used to diminishing how we feel that when we are in a place, I'll speak for myself, when I am in a place where I get to own the floor or own the time, like that hour is my hour and I get to do whatever the fuck I want with that hour. I could talk about my dog, I could talk about work, I can talk about whatever it is I need to talk about. And it's such an uncommon space. We don't get that a lot. So I think also being confident and understanding, kind of like what you were saying, owning like, this is your time. If some, if your therapist said something that was like, no, tell them no. And it's a, it doesn't have to be a deal breaker. Depending on what they say. But you can then be able to, you're in control. And that's just something to always keep in mind. Like, they do not get to dictate your life. You are literally there to do the, you're doing the dictating. And you just need the guidance.
And, I mean, I don't even have to ask the next question because you went into it, but why do you recommend therapy for people like you and I, for us, for people of color, for black people?
Oh, we need it. I mean, come on. I feel like brown and black people just need, like, it should be free for us. Institutionalized racism, like, I can go on forever. Yeah, I think we hold a lot. We, again, as I said, aren't able to fully take up spaces, even though we should be entitled to it, just like our white counterparts. I also think it's important because the things that we begin to normalize, we find are not normal. And that could be anything from, you know, things that we've heard growing up, the way we feel about ourselves, things that we even say. Like, those, it's just not a normal thing. We don't live in a normal world. We also see a lot when it comes to the violence amongst or to black and brown bodies. That's a lot to take in. And while we think it's like, oh, I scrolled on Twitter and another black man got shot by the police, what is that actually doing to you? Have you noticed a change in the way you move in the world? Are you noticing the difference in the way you talk? Are you starting to separate yourself from certain things. Those mm-hmm. are all ways that your body is saying, something's not right. Mm-hmm. This isn't normal for us to feel this yeah. way. So
yeah. Put it into one word, trauma. Trauma. We don't realize enough that trauma, that we have some form of trauma, mm-hmm. Past or history.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that it's so important to start talking about that mm-hmm. and learning how to work through it. And yes, it's good to be able to talk about that amongst friends yeah. And people who get it and family. Right. But there's something different about having, you know, 45, 50 minutes, like your space mm-hmm. to really explore this trauma and how it affects you and yeah. how it affected your childhood, yeah. how it affected
really
you
as a teenager.
Yeah, yeah, how it affects you in your everyday life and some of those, you know, trauma responses that you still have today that you've probably been brushing off and mm-hmm. saying like, oh, this is just stress. It's right. just anxiety. Right. It's like,
yeah, I'll but get it's, over it.
But it's rooted right. a lot different. And mm-hmm. we're told so often, mm-hmm. you know, people of color that you have to get over it.
Right.
And I mean, that's due to systemic racism and oppression. But yeah. there is this theme of if we let it get to us, then we're seen as weak. Mm-hmm. And if we're weak, then we can't compete with our white counterparts right. or we can't get through a day of working in white America.
And that is normalized non-normalness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't allow ourselves to feel mm-hmm. and to be human mm-hmm. and to be able to be like, I'm having a bad day. Shut the fuck up. Like,
yeah.
just allow me my space. We don't mm-hmm. get to do that.
Yeah.
So, and I will say, I want to put this out there because I don't want to make it seem that every time you go to therapy, you're coming out with like some new revelation. Sometimes yes. it takes several weeks. Yeah. It took me several weeks. One time I'll never forget because it was so powerful. I was mm-hmm. talking about myself in relationships and how I showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And this constant cycle that I kept repeating. And I was like, mm-hmm. what is that? And I was on my way home, random from Target. And I was like, oh no. I just realized I'm carrying my mother's trauma from her relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Is that my burden? Why am I carrying her burden?
Mm-hmm.
And then that was a whole other can of worms that we started to dissect in yeah. my therapist now. And so just, again, thinking about stuff like that. Like, yeah. sometimes you don't even think about it, but it's just yeah. like, ooh, I took on her burden of mm-hmm. relationships. Why? And why did I show up that way? Mm-hmm. So just, you know, be patient with the process.
Yes.
Because, honey, mm-hmm. when it starts to click, you will see yourself completely differently. You will mm-hmm. see relationships completely differently, but it'll be for the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what not enough people know, too. It's like, you're not going to go to your first session and feel, you're not always going to go to your first session
right.
and feel light in that, wow, that was the best experience of my life.
The first session is just like, who are you?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Let's get
what
your
do
background.
You wanna work on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I even say up to the first couple of sessions, a lot of that is getting to know the client,
mm-hmm.
getting to know your history. Right. That way we're informed about the work that we need to do
mm-hmm.
And where we're going to go in that process. But I know a lot of people also feel that, we had two sessions. I wasn't really feeling it. So mm-hmm. like, let's give up.
Right.
And so I think it's important for people to also know that stick with it.
Yes.
And that's not saying stay with a therapist that you know 100% you aren't clicking with.
Right. If you want to drag them, that's a sign.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, also we have to think about, you know, their limitations to, mm-hmm. you know, or limitations to the access that people have.
Yeah.
To therapists too. So if you're able to, I definitely say, you know, if you hate your therapist,
mm-hmm.
maybe this is something you can talk about with your therapist. But maybe it's something that can be worked out and you should look for another therapist.
Yeah, that's fair.
But definitely just owning the space and knowing that it is yours to do with it, you know, whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And really feeling that ownership when you're in your sessions with your therapist, too.
I will say, too, if you're looking for a therapist and you are a person of color, specifically black or brown, there are not a lot of black and or brown therapists, so it's going to feel frustrating when yeah. you're looking. You're going to be like, what the fuck is this? And then mm-hmm. when there's already such a narrow group and then trying to figure out scheduling, mm-hmm. it makes it even smaller.
Yeah.
What I will say is this. Is it nice to have, do I really appreciate having a black woman as a therapist? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I could not have her as a therapist, would I go to a white person? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I really just needed to talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned before, my first therapist was great. Like, we connected so well. So don't mm-hmm. let that stop you either. Because that can lead to the frustration.
Yeah. And a lot of places also offer free consultations, like 15-minute consultations. I don't know if it's every site, but always ask that if you are at a new practice or looking, if you know that there are maybe a couple of therapists that you don't know who you want to work with. Ask if they have any 15-minute consultations. That way you can talk to these people that you're thinking about spending, you know, an hour a week with. Because that's a lot of time.
You're dating. Spend,
So you need to have auditions for these therapists. And if you can do that, at least you can know, okay, I made the right choice, or I made the most informed choice that I could with going with the therapist that I want.
I will also say this, because at first I was like, I'm not going to do that. EAP, utilize that shit. If your job has it, I got to the point where I was going to utilize it. I got three free sessions or something, and then after that I would have to pay. But do it, because I think, especially if you're unsure, let your company pay for it. Find a place that you think you would feel comfortable. You're still allowed to pick the therapist in these places. They're just saying that they'll cover it for you for however many sessions. And then if you still like it, then you can go from there. And obviously talk about price up front, but that's a really, really good option. And it's anonymous. Like, we all think like, oh, the company is going to get a report. No.
Kind of that kind of narrative of your parents. Like, your company is going to know that you're in therapy and unwell.
It's like, no. You'll never get a job again. No, EAP is
It does not stay on your permanent record.
No, they don't give a fuck. If anything, they're like, good for you. Get a raise now.
Well, before we go ahead and wrap up this episode, I will ask you, what is your self-care share? And when it comes to this, this can be anything that just helps you get to where you need to be in the day, that season, that week.
Well, if I'm really going through it, I would say, obviously, cuddling my dogs. There is nothing like being around a happy little furry little cute little butt. But working out for me is super important. I find right now I haven't worked out in forever, and I can tell. But I think being able to also continue to keep and maintain time for myself, even if it's 30 minutes on a treadmill, but I'm focused on me for that 30 minutes and I'm feeling good and I'm getting my body moving, that to me is my self-care share.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Well, that will wrap up this episode.
That was so fast.
The very first episode of Black People Go to Therapy 2. We appreciate you guys for listening, and stay tuned for where you'll be able to find the show and where you can find our social media pages. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This concludes another session of Black People Go to Therapy 2. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Black People Therapy, Facebook at Black People Go to Therapy 2, and Twitter at Black PPL Therapy. Thanks.